As we hear God's word in the scriptures, first from Luke 4, 1 through 15 on page 1231 in our Pew Bible. When Jesus returned from the Jordan River, the power of the Holy Spirit was with him, and the Spirit led him into the desert. For 40 days, Jesus was tested by the devil, and during that time, he went without eating. When it was all over, he was hungry. The devil said to Jesus, "If you are God's son, tell this stone to turn into bread." Jesus answered, "The scriptures say, no one can live only on food." Then the devil led Jesus up to a high place and quickly showed him all the nations on earth. The devil said, "I will give you all this power and glory to you. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. Just worship me, and you can have it all." Jesus answered, "The scriptures say, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Finally, the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and had him stand on top of the temple. The devil said, "If you are God's son, jump off. The scriptures say, God will tell his angels to take care of you. They will catch you in their arms, and you will not hurt your feet on the stones." Jesus answered, "The scriptures also say, don't try to test the Lord your God." After the devil had finished testing Jesus in every way possible, he left him for a while. Jesus returned to Galilee with the power of the Spirit. News about him spread everywhere. He taught in the Jewish meeting places, and everyone praised him. And now here are the words of our second reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 and 16 through 21. I will be reading this passage from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty praises as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be."
Let us pray. Most holy God, grant that what we speak with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may show forth in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Welcome to one of the most depressing days of the church year. seriously, Ash Wednesday can be pretty rough. I mean, in just a few minutes, you're all going to be invited forward to receive the sign of the cross in ashes on your foreheads. As our parish nurse, Jane Morgan, and I place the ash on your foreheads, we will be saying to you these words. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. These words offer an intentional reminder that God created humanity out of the dust of the earth, and that one day, each and every one of us will die and will then somehow return to the dust from which we came. The ashes we put on our foreheads this night are like that dust. And we don't simply think about the ashes. We don't simply look at the ashes. No, on this day, we physically put them onto our bodies as a reminder to ourselves of our mortality and as a reminder to all who see us that they too will one day return to the dust from which they came. Like I said, welcome to one of the most depressing days of the church year. On Ash Wednesday, we are indeed reminded of our mortality. Not only that, but we are reminded that the reality of death itself is wrapped up in the reality of human sin. That had the first humans long ago not sinned, they would have lived forever in paradise with God. The season of Lent is a 40-day march toward the cross of Good Friday, the cross on which our Savior died because of human sin. In fact, the story we just heard Jim read about Jesus' 40-day period of testing in the desert is actually a foreshadowing of the cross. When the devil tested and tempted Jesus for 40 days in the desert, Jesus was experiencing a glimpse of what he'd eventually experience on the cross. Though surely nothing the devil tempted him with in the desert would compare in the least to the temptation he'd have on the cross. The temptation to come down from the cross. The temptation to save himself from the agony of that particular death. With the cross of Good Friday in mind, and with our human sin and frailty in mind, we look to the season of Lent as a time of confession, a time to look into our own minds and hearts, a time to reflect on the sin in our lives, a time to recognize that the natural consequence of human sin has been and continues to be death. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. These words of Ash Wednesday are perfect for the day, and they can be powerful to hear and say. But thankfully, they are not the only words we hear on this particular day of the church year. We will spend time confessing our sin through the words of Psalm 51, and we will hear those words about dust as we receive the ashes onto our foreheads. But we will also hear the words of the communion prayer, words that remind us of God's love and grace to the world from creation all the way through to the end of time. And as depressing as this particular day can be with its reminder of our mortality, we must never forget how this season of Lent marches us toward not only the cross of Good Friday, but also toward the empty tomb of Easter Sunday. If you worshiped with us here at McCabe during Advent and Christmas, you may recall our worship theme for that time was Cross My Heart. Advent and Christmas are times when we focus on how in sending Jesus into this world, God fulfilled a promise that had been made centuries earlier, a promise to give the people a Messiah who would bring mercy and salvation to the world. With the idea of promise in mind for Advent and Christmas, I couldn't help but think about the phrase, cross my heart, A phrase children have been known to use as the sign of a promise. Cross my heart, hope to die. That phrase seemed so fitting for Advent and Christmas because, of course, the baby born in the manger grows up to be the Savior, dying on the cross. The promise of Advent and Christmas is a promise from God's own heart. And as we now journey through the season of Lent, it's so fitting for us to revisit and to continue the Cross My Heart theme. It's been said that to have a child is to have your heart walking around outside your body. Vulnerability at its most poignant. Well, in Jesus Christ, God's Son, God's own heart was walking around among us in the world. And on Good Friday, God's own heart was nailed to a cross. On Good Friday, God's own heart was bleeding for the world. The season of Lent is a 40-day journey into God's own heart. In order to faithfully journey through this holiest of seasons, we must look into our own hearts, searching for sin and asking God to transform that sin into blessing. Because, of course, that's what God did on Easter. God took the sin of Good Friday's cross and transformed it into the blessed good news of Easter's empty tomb. And so even on this most depressing of church days, even on this day when we are firmly reminded of our sin and our mortality, there is good news. Though we are dust, and though we will return to dust, through the gift of Easter, we are given the blessing of hope in all things, even hope in the midst of death. Thanks be to God. Amen. And I'd invite you now to turn in your red hymnals to page 785. The words of Psalm 51 will serve as our congregational prayer of confession this night. We won't be using the responses, but I will read the light face type and we'll all respond in bold. This is a psalm of King David. Let us pray it together. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was born into iniquity, and I have been sinful since my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear with joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from death, O God, God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. Were I to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise.